to Minority Corner
with an Eke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues,
only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike.
This week on Minority Corner,
what do you have for us?
Well, Jay's gonna give it to ya. He's okay. Gonna give it to ya.
Better. Ready for it.
Oh, it is. Is my mic up? Turn my beat up. We've got, you know, it's Pride Month. Check
it
out. What does it say? It says
June.
And there's a lot of rainbows flying at your face.
It's true. Like it's pretty.
You look like a unicorn. Just lick your face. So,
nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that, as the mother unicorn says. So I want to celebrate some amazing people in LGBT history that I don't think get enough attention. So
we've got
people
this.
From all different walks of life and important things that they did that have literally changed the course of history. So there's so much to celebrate.
A little unsung hero, if you will.
Yes.
Oh, I love that. And we got to ask Minority Corner anything brewing up for us.
I'm excited and scared, but I know it'll be great.
I got some answers to give.
We always have answers. And you watched the Tonys.
I did. You didn't. Did you?
We'll find out. I'll let you know.
Okay.
And also, I saw a little show.
You
here
partook
in
some theater.
I took some theater. It's a show called Hold On To Your Butts, Underground Railroad Game.
Okay.
What could possibly go wrong?
We'll find out.
Yes, let's choo-choo. Let's jump on this train that's going through the Underground Railroad.
You're like,
I'm a walk. You know what?
Can you send me a postcard?
All aboard.
Let's go.
Choo-choo, pulling into the Minority Corner Express.
Ooh, what's this station?
This is come with me to the Underground Railroad game, little girl.
Oh,
we're gonna
God.
Play a game.
See, okay,
and
okay.
It's
so
about
first,
slavery.
Okay, should we talk about this right off the bat, James?
Or do you want to do it? Do you want to do a soft?
I know. I mean,
do you want
I feel
a soft pitch.
I thought we were gonna warm up with the Tonys, but maybe we'll cool down with the Tonys.
Oh my God! Well, the Tonys. Let's just let's talk about it real fast. There were some winners. Mm-hmm. There were some losers.
Yes.
There were performances.
Yes.
There were outfits.
In the bathroom.
There were speeches. There were tears. There were awards.
I got a great outfit.
There was a hose. I didn't watch it.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't watch it? Okay, so Billy Porter, who is amazing and is having a moment right now. But he starred in Kinky Boots.
Yes, he did.
So he wore the curtain from the Kinky Boots show. So I feel like that's like fucking awesome and a tribute.
Okay.
No.
It's good. I saw it with Wayne Brady and Jake Shears from the Scissor Sisters.
Oh, yeah. Star cast. That's like a cast tailor-made
for
you.
I know. It was like, who do I look like and who do I love?
I know.
It's almost like, you know, like how Netflix will like some of their shows come from like they just like know what people really like.
Yeah,
like Stranger
exactly.
Things are like, what do people like? Science fiction in the 80s. Boom. And that, yeah.
I know. That was like, and I feel very proud to say that I brought you to your first Scissor Sisters show.
You did. And they changed, you brought the Scissor Sisters into my life at different moments in college.
I did.
Filthy. Mm-hmm. Ooh, and you're gorgeous. Gorgeous. So that was a gift. And then it was fresh off the heels of my lesbian breakup because we moved in with each other after dating for a month. And my heart was a mess.
And that happened.
Sister Aneke was like, I got an extra ticket. And that concert changed my life.
It was a fucking amazing concert. I have to say that I didn't know what to expect. Because I think that was the first time that I saw them too, I think. And it just was, I think they had like fake dollars that rained from the sky at one point. It was amazing. They put on a really fucking great show.
I don't remember any of it because I was so drunk. I showed up drunk.
I was playing kickball. I made kickball Sundays. It was part of my recovery. You know, when you're going through a breakup, you're just a mess. And it's like it's your birthday.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Your friends are very like tolerant and forgiving of all of your just ridiculous decisions and behavior. So that's that.
Yeah.
And I showed up drunk and I had just gotten back from kickball because we were doing kickball together. We were on two separate kickball teams. And so Sundays were like intense.
Right.
And I made up with, I think he was like a writer from the San Francisco Chronicle or something.
That night?
This is just a concert.
Oh, I don't even remember. I mean, clearly I was like, you're drunk. Time for me to catch up. Because that was
yes
what you do when you're in your early to mid-20s.
Those days. Those were days. Anyways, sorry. The Tonys. Give us the rundown. That lady won.
So Hadestown is a new musical that is on Broadway right now that won everything.
A new friend of mine is actually in it. He's one of the swings in it. Yeah, he goes to my gym. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay, well, then your friend is on a Tony-winning production, and maybe you should start going to some of those parties with him.
Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Kris Jenner.
Hey.
No, I'm like, yes.
You know, you got to network. Right. Networking is half a job.
Right, okay.
There was a woman
who directed Hadestown was the first female director to win a Tony, which is wild. Because it's look at your calendar.
Yeah, I know it's insane.
Look at your calendar right now, and it should say the year 2019.
Is it 1825?
No, nope, oh, nope. Close. Out of 100.
Imagine that.
That's insane.
Oh my god! A lot of people talked about inclusivity in their speeches, which was awesome. Couple of things. Don't understand why Tootsie is a musical. We don't
and
need it.
And it won awards. I've read nothing but problematic articles about it, which I think makes sense.
It is dated. Yeah.
So, explain to the kids what Tootsie's about.
Tootsie's about a washed up actor who wants to start getting roles, so he dresses up like a middle aged woman and Shazam, he's a sensation.
Which is often that's the TV show that I used to actually, or it's based on it was a movie, right?
Yeah, with Dustin Hoffman. But it was in the 80s.
And often in the different times and a lot of cocaine. And
yeah.
And it's oftentimes like, so Olivia Pope, like Kerry Washington was the first black female to lead a TV show. And I often confused it with Tootsie. I used to say like before, since Tootsie, and you would correct me if you go back into the archives of the episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I forget what the other show was. It was like a nurse or something.
Oh, yeah. It was, forget.
Damn, it used to be.
It had Diane Carroll in it.
That one, so not Tootsie.
It's a name. It's like a woman's name.
Wasn't she?
And she plays
a nurse. Okay, yeah. You got enough ingredients for you to Google it yourself, Corner Kids. You can.
I mean, everybody's screaming it at us right now.
Not Tootsie.
Diane Carroll.
Well, you got it. You'll figure it out. So you had a good time. I'm surprised you watched the Tonys.
Yeah, I liked it.
Not like, not as like an.
Why?
Because I didn't realize that we watched. Because I said this to my roommate very cockily like a year ago.
Okay.
She grew up here in the New York area. She's like, ooh, the Tonys. I'm like, I felt we're on the West Coast. We don't really watch it. Like, because it's essentially, I viewed it as, it's like New York's theater scene. So it's like, if I'm not going to your shows, why am I going to watch your awards about it? So.
Yeah, well, that's yours because they come over here. You know.
Yeah, you're right. And I just
traveling companies.
So you still have an investment because you've seen the traveling companies selling their.
No, you have an investment because you like musical theater and you want to see what's hot and what's coming out and what's buzzworthy and like who's an up and coming star or like what like actors are playing on like stage productions. Like, I mean, just because I'm over here doesn't. And I love the performances. Yeah. Like, it's the only time, I mean, I don't get to go to New York City performances, and when it is a traveling company, it isn't the star who originated the role, so I would like to see, like, who, you know, a bit of that play, you know, like,
world.
What's that like? It's it's just fascinating. It's almost like, you know, it's an award show, but, like, you watch award shows for the performances, so.
I feel like I should care more. It's my industry. I feel like I should care more. I've never watched the Tonys once. Not once. No.
I mean, you're not really a musical theater guy.
I love musicals. And I love going to Broadway. I don't know.
But you've never been like, hey, Neke, let's sing Rent.
Maybe not to you, but I was singing Rent just this past weekend.
I mean, all right, okay, yeah.
I don't get to have my musical theater card because I don't flaunt it around with high kicks, and I've been in musicals.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that people on the West Coast watch the Tonys.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. You know, people on the West Coast might see... Oh, here's... You know what? You love shows that travel. Well, this one's been traveling all around.
Uh-huh.
And it's called Underground Railroad Game.
Yeah, so what is this?
It's a theater company called Ars Nova.
Yes.
And it's a two-person piece. And I went with Ben Randall, who's a friend of the show, who's been mm-hmm. on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben Randall had an extra ticket, and we went. I've been hearing about this because this company also did another show back in the fall that was like the buzzy race provocateur show at the time, and that they did it. It was called Slave Play.
Oh yeah, but what's his? He's a the playwright. He's really hot right now.
Yes, fuck, that guy. Google
I'm forgetting his name. I feel so bad, but I read all about Slave Play. It's fascinating.
Yes. So this play came out originally before Underground Railroad Game, I think, came out originally back in 2016. Yes. Opening night, so I'm looking at the program, mm-hmm. September 26, 2016. And it's interesting, like it sort of opens up with, it's a two-person show, it's a black woman and a white guy, mm-hmm. and it sort of opens up, it's really cute the way it opens up, it's like you're at a junior high school assembly. Well, no, sorry. First of all, it opens up and it's like a very over-the-top, like slave-like play where it's this woman running away from, she's an Underground Railroad, and she's like,
oh my god,
which way do I go? And it's sort of like also over the top, it like starts getting over the top and super campy,
and it's revealed
that it's two teachers who are putting on a performance for their junior high school class, and this is their way of like, they're going to be doing a week of exploring the Civil War and slavery.
Yes. And okay, so that's okay, sort of the opening. So you're setting like, okay, the scene. Yes.
So that's kind of, you know, interesting and stuff. And then they go on a date, and then like he says something kind of like uncomfortable, like kind of slightly racist. And
so
then,
wait, here's my question.
Yeah.
How do they switch from being in the classroom to then being like a play where it's them on a date?
They would just pretend to like walk and play, because it's a very like avant-garde experimental piece as well. So
uh-huh.
It's just sort of like, it's really actually well crafted and masterfully done, because you're just, you know, when you're in the classroom, you know, when you're in another area, it's just just really well done. Also, you're the students in the class, like in the assembly. And they like each, like you have a little action figure underneath your chair that's taped underneath. So blue for Union soldier, gray for Confederate. Uh-huh. I was on the Confederate side, and you know I was not pleased about that.
No.
But it's also interesting too, because it was sort of like these two teachers trying to figure out a fun way to teach about slavery. And so their students are playing the Underground Railroad game, where they have to find these baby doll slaves and get them to their class, the special classrooms for safe zones, right?
Yeah. Okay. So I have a little bit of research, because when you mentioned you were going to this, I was like, what the fuck? So I read about it.
Yeah.
That's based off of a game that guy actually played when he was in school.
Here's
which is nuts. Like, how does that even, like, what?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And so then as it starts going on, then they're like, but then they start kind of like having like feelings for each other, but then it starts taking like a turn, and then it starts becoming like fetishization of like slavery and power dynamics, where sometimes you're in this weird sort of like presentation fever dream. There's this one point where she's like this giant silhouetted like mammy like figure,
uh-huh.
and she's like this huge like sort of like beautiful dress that's like 10-15 feet high, and it's like the busk of her dress, and she's pretending to sew, and then she's singing, and then she's essentially just like, suck on my teat, and then he starts sucking on her boob.
Whoa. And
then like her dress becomes this tent, and then they're like, they're having like, they're fucking like behind the scenes, and then they go back to teaching the kids, and it starts kind of unraveling into these weird sort of power dynamics. And then someone,
this is wild.
One of the students wrote like nigger lover on a like poster, and she's trying to talk about it, but then he keeps talking over her. Like, he's more upset than she is, but then he kind of crosses the line about, like, you know, when you're trying to be an ally, but then you're just kind of taking over the show.
Oh, I totally know that.
And this sort of like just keeps going. And then they start like fighting backstage, and like where they like you just hear all this like fighting stuff, and they like rip the curtains down. And it's amazing how they're able to do some of this stuff. Mm. And then it starts going to just this dominatrix thing that's happening, and like he starts like he's like she's trying to like ridicule him, and like she makes him get naked on stage, and she's like fiddling with his dick with a ruler.
Oh my god.
Then she's like spanking him, and he's like having to call himself like a nigger lover.
What?
Yeah. And then she's not doing it hard enough, and then he starts spanking himself, and then he ejaculates like calling himself that.
What?
And it's why y'all, it just keeps going and takes a turn. And then after I left, I said to Ben, I was like, who wrote this?
Yeah, this is
nuts. I had questions. And here was my questions. I was like, I want to know who wrote this, because if it was a white person that wrote this, what the fuck? But and like also who directed this, and then come to find out.
Yeah.
They wrote the piece together.
Yeah.
So, and I think that they probably, if they weren't fucking, they have been fucking or are still fucking or have some sort of relationship. So then it's this extra meta thing where it's like, I'm watching this couple.
So you think that they like, you really think that it's like their own things?
Somewhat. It felt very sort of like, I'm like, you know when you watch like the Jay-Z and Beyonce concert and they're like working together?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of made me feel like that a little bit.
Really? This is wild.
It was fucking wild. It is wild.
And
it's also one of those things that I had to realize too, is like sometimes, and you've had this experience too, when you're watching something and it's like, ooh, we're going to talk about race. And then you as a black person watch it and you're just sort of like, huh, this isn't, I felt nothing. I had just come off of watching When They See Us. And I mean, to me, like this, I didn't have any feelings about this play afterwards. I just like, huh, oh, that was interesting art. I didn't feel like I was provoked or anything. I felt like I was watching. I didn't know a black woman like that. I felt like I was watching this couple explore their own fucked up issues with race relations.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, get your tickets.
That's a wild ass ride. I had no idea it was that wild. That's crazy.
I knew nothing going. You knew more about it than I did going into.
Well, I mean, I just read a couple articles because when you said that name, that name is nuts. So it was like, what the hell, you know? And being a librarian, I want to like find out things. And now, of course, everything on my fucking Instagram and Facebook is advertising for it now because you can't search for anything. So fucking annoying.
Underground Railroad game. Come see it. Fly.
I hate it. It's like, get out of my Google searches.
Yeah, get out of my Googs.
I know. It's so stupid. But I mean, that's wild. Interesting.
Yeah, super wild. And you know, it's interesting too because it came out September 2016. So this is before the election. And I think, like, it also lets you know, like, think, like, how different things are 3 years later.
Right.
Because I've seen tiki torches and guys in khakis chanting Jews will not replace us. So I'm not surprised by any white people's hidden racism.
It kind of rings.
I'm not surprised anymore.
Yeah. It rings sort of the same way that, like, Get Out rings, where it was obvious that it was written before this election. Because it's in the same vein of like, oh, a more of a hidden secret racism, secret hidden feelings. Oh, yeah. Convincing people that, yeah, racism still exists. Oh, you have to read between the lines. You have to like, actually, it's like black people being like, hello, it's still here. Don't act like it's a post-racial time. When now it's no shit.
Yeah,
we got like people are fucking racist and awful.
Yes, absolutely. Which also reminds me of, you know, here it is, we're in Pride Month, and then you have, it just annoys me, like anytime us like disenfranchised groups try to get together and like, you know, do something really awesome, I feel like there's just some white straight people who are just gonna try to fuck it up.
What do you mean?
Boston Straight Pride that they're trying to organize.
Oh, that's so stupid. That's so dumb.
And you know what? They want to try to do like they want to do the same parade route that the LGBT pride does. And that ride has curves. No, if you're going to have a straight pride, you have a long ass, straight ass walk route off a very short pier.
But you know, it's not even about sexuality because you know who they got as the like fucking grand marshal of the parade? Milo, what's his stupid bucket?
What an asshat.
So it's about race. It's about white supremacy, basically.
Yes, and that's the thing is that like anytime, here's the thing. Anytime what I have witnessed in my 33 years of life, that's my 34. Anytime like a group of white people get together or a great group of white straight people get together and organize, it turns into a Nazi parade. Like it just defaults to it. It just always does. So like I'm gonna say, like, for y'all, just don't do it. Do not organize together because it's a slippery slope. When y'all get together, before you know it, you get your tiki torches and you're chanting Jews will not replace us. So just don't organize together, like, because it's a slippery slope to Nazism for you.
Oh my god. I mean, you said it. The views on this podcast are individual.
It's a slippery slope.
I don't know. The whole thing is just seems like a desperate grab for attention to me. It's like it falls in line with that same sort of rationale of like, oh, you have black entertainment television. How come you don't have white entertainment television? Oh, you got a gay pride parade. Why can't we have a straight? It's like, shut the fuck up. It's because everything is catering towards straight people. It's because people who are queer have to carve out dignity and respect and love and new families because this fucking homophobic country. I mean, it's like, it's so easy to explain. And the fact that people don't want to listen to it just goes to show that they're being like super self-centered and want attention. And I hope it's one of those things where it's like they talk like, a couple people have a big bite, and then when it's time to show up, it's like six people.
That's what happened last time, because they've had a straight... There was another place that tried to organize a straight pride march, and there was like six people that like marched, that like showed up. But it's also just like, I mean, you look at like... Was your sexuality ever criminalized? Were you ever not legally allowed to get married? It's like, then the answer is no. Then there's not a big need for you to have a sort of gathering for
yourself.
That's
what I mean. Yeah. It's like, it's dumb.
Yeah. I mean, I do think like, and Dan Savage, I think, said this, and I've kind of chewed on it over the years, but he said that he did see reason for having, he could see a reason for having some sort of like straight, like sexual celebration sort of festival and party, whereas we in the queer community get to like really express our sexual selves that a lot of times straight people can feel like they're repressed and they don't get to be able to do that. But then it's hard because you'd have to have a larger conversation with men about how to not be idiots. Because there's a whole other sort of like...
Yeah, I mean, you would have to rework a whole lot of...
The whole society.
Intertwining things that are happening.
Yes.
But I kind of understand it. It's like the same reason that affinity groups sometimes encourage like white people to have an affinity group because you need to talk about your whiteness in a safe space.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's the same sort of thing.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Sort of unpacking those things. I think there's so many nuances and so many conversations that then people just don't end up talking about it and then it gets repressed and they feel like they can't talk about it. So
right. Exactly.
I think there's a different way to approach having a sort of straight sexualized, you know, event that's not looking like it's trying to shit on the actual event.
I just feel like it's stupid. As a straight person, I think it's stupid.
You're not going?
No.
Good.
What the fuck? Who cares? Boring. I don't feel like repressed or anything. If anything, you know, maybe interracial couples, but that's different. That's something totally different.
And there's a thing for that. That's Loving Day.
Yeah, exactly. That is something that was illegal and that, you know, used to... go somewhere. When I go somewhere that's weird, me holding the hand of my husband, I know for a fact it's nothing to do with the fact that we're a straight couple. Right. You know, that's a mark that I can uncheck where I don't have to worry about it.
On your list of many, thank God, it's like one less thing for you to have to worry about. On the other hand, you're like, ooh, are they looking at us because I'm black and he's white?
Exactly. I mean, speaking of which, I'm feeling like the pressure for that right now with fucking daycare. I feel like I've been I can't help it, but there's, when you get denied from certain daycares, you can't help but wonder, why are you denying me? Is it circumstance or is it because I'm black? Like, when you go to a daycare in Oakland and you see the picture of all the kids and there's not one black kid, and then you find out that they let other people in before you, you're like, what the fuck is going on? You know? So these are the reasons why we have parades, why we have special groups, why we have special TV, why we celebrate, because you need an outlet. And like,
and a unification place of like celebration and empowerment to strengthen, because it's hard out there for these more, it's hard out there for marginalized folks.
Right. And it's the same reason why I have been saying on this podcast for a million years now that when I go to a gay club, I don't go kicking the door and being like, I'm a straight lady, celebrate me, we like, no, fucking you respect the space. Yep. You know, like, true. God damn it. That's not a hard thing. Nope. That's so not hard to do. Respect the space if it doesn't belong to you.
Boom. Well, I would like to slide on over to my corner, because all this LGBTQ talk has got me all hot and excited for some LGBT folks who have changed history. Who
you might it's not have June, y'all.
Happy Pride.
Well, Alexis, we got big news.
Uh-oh.
Season one, done.
It's over.
Season two, coming at you hot.
3 years after.
Three and a half. Technically, right. Almost 4 years.
All right.
And now, listen, here at Can I Pet Your Dog, the Smash It podcast, our seasons run for 3.5 years. And then in season two, we come at you with new hot co-hosts. Named you.
Hi, I'm Alexis.
And we also have field trip.
Dog tech.
Yeah. Dog news.
Dog news.
Celebrity guests.
Oh, big shots.
Will not let them talk about their resume.
Nope. Only the dogs.
Only the dogs. I mean, if ever you were going to get into Can I Pet Your Dog?
Now's the time.
Get in here.
Every Tuesday.
At MaximumFun.org.
Give me that beat. Turn my mic up. I can't hear me.
Oh, God.
Ooh, here it comes. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Bring the beat back.
So what are we talking about?
Oh, man. My album.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be such a sad, like, intro? You're like, bring my beat back. They're like, we don't have the music playing right now.
You're like, okay.
Okay. Is it on yet? Nope.
Okay.
Still not on. Check. Marmalade.
And then the beat comes in the middle of you talking.
Here we go. Happy Pride. LGBT folks who change history.
Nice. Okay. Let's do it.
So I was looking, there were so many people that I wanted to talk about, and I realized, oh, we already talked about them. Which kudos to us.
Yeah, we're on top of it.
We have been hitting it. We have been getting in there. And I wanted to do this because it is Pride, and it's the 50th anniversary of Stonewall, and World Pride is happening here in New York. Mm. It is a really big what to do. And I think sometimes we can kind of forget because so much progress has happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, the other day I was going to not go volunteer at the LGBT homeless place where we make dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, I have too many things to do. And then I'm flipping through the news and I see that like Nazis have just showed up to, it was the Detroit Pride. And so it just, in that moment, I was like, oh, I'm going to go volunteer.
That's good.
And yeah. I think it's I would, before I get into the meat of this, I would really like to encourage folks to, it's a huge 50th anniversary of Stonewall since this whole entire movement really, really kicked into high gear here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really encourage people to, there's going to be so many events going on in your city. Check them out. There are so many great events happening all across this nation. Mm. And it's a great volunteer opportunities as well this month, especially for those who are LGBTQ.
Love it.
I would encourage you to find, it's Gay Christmas.
Find
one thing to get involved in with, like volunteering at something, make this, you know, getting involved in your community.
I like
and
that.
For those who are allies, it's also a really great opportunity to just do some volunteer stuff. Mm-hmm. Even if it's an hour, there's so many events.
That's so true.
So I just really encourage everybody to get involved.
Yeah. Like you can have a drunken mess of a time, but also maybe give back a little bit.
Exactly. Yes, you can have it both. Because there's a reason, just like Christmas, there's a reason for the season.
Yeah.
So,
and it both are Jesus. And, no.
And, yeah. Well, I did direct a play, but he was pretty queer. So, you know, they are very, pretty similar. So, I'm going to just see how many I can flip through. And if not, there's still more June. So I'll come back to them later.
Yeah, we got the whole month.
We got the whole month to talk about these LGBT queer ass mofos.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So we all know about gay ass Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo.
Okay.
And I'm talking about both the painter, artist, genius.
Not the Ninja Turtles.
The Ninja Turtles. Actually, I am. Because I was thinking about this too. Because look at, you know, Leonardo. Leo was velvety peacock raging with all his, like, I gotta be the leader. Look at, I gotta be big.
Wait, I don't know who happens. You're talking about. Are you talking about Ninja Turtles right now or the painter?
No, I'm talking about Ninja
Turtles.
Okay,
all right.
Now I'm talking about Ninja Turtles. You're like the Ninja Turtles of the painter. No, because think about this. Because oftentimes, like, LGBT folks will end up being leaders, like class president and stuff. It's a peacocking sort of thing of like, look at me, I'm loved.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Guilty. Yes. A little points in the velvet rage. Mike, a big old muscle circuit queen who just couldn't stop partying and loves working out.
Uh-huh.
And then I guess Raphael, he's kind of like the bitchy queen.
Okay. All right.
And then D was like, he's like the nerdy gay. So, but I wasn't talking about them.
Yes.
But
I mean, you know what? It was a sidetrack that took us into new territories.
And we're back. Okay. We're back. But Da Vinci and Michelangelo, there's been speculation about Michelangelo, especially because he loved creating artist pain and he was so damn good at it. And there's notes about Da Vinci having like lovers and was really into androgyny sort of painting. And so there is theory behind it. I'm not going to go into it because maybe we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
But
ooh.
We've already talked at we've already talked about Bayard Rustin, James Baldwin, Sylvia Rivera,
yes.
Marsha P. Johnson.
Yes.
There's a documentary on Netflix that I still have not watched yet, but I'm going to try to watch in honor of Pride Month called Happy Birthday, Marsha.
Oh, about Marsha P. Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Who's rumored to have thrown the first heel that kicked off the Stonewall riot.
Yeah, there was another documentary that I watched about her on Netflix, but I don't think it's this new one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Highly encourage it. Very, very interesting.
Yeah. So Alan Turing.
Oh, yeah.
Share the same birthday.
Interesting.
June 23rd.
Nice.
Yeah. And actually, too, it's really interesting, too, celebrating him because this is, you know, the anniversary of D-Day just came
right.
up recently.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is known as the founder of computer science,
yes.
a mathematician, philosopher, codebreaker, just a visionary,
genius.
A gay man before his time.
Yes.
You can see his story played out in The Imitation Game.
Great movie.
Benedict Cumberbatch. Yes, I saw it. I saw it on an airplane. That was a great flight.
Flight. Mm-hmm. I think I watched it on HBO.
Okay, look at you.
You know,
comfort of your home.
Premium.
Ooh, okay, fancy. Okay. I was flying Delta Economy. He's considered by many to be the founder of computer science. He was born, he's British, mathematician, scientist, and he played a key role in breaking the code for the Nazi Enigma machine in World War II. Mm-hmm. And essentially helped to bring down, to crack the code so we were able to defeat the Nazis. Because defeating Nazis is always a good thing.
Yes.
So he, in the Enigma code, seemed like it would be unbreakable. But Alan Turing, super smart, super dope, and just gay-ass magnificent, was like, let me crack this case.
Yeah.
And he did.
Hell yeah.
And he, so again, like, probably saved millions and millions of lives, allowed us to be able to end the war.
He ended the war.
So much sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, millions of lives were saved because of what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And as a thank you, the whack-ass British government arrested him in 1952 for the crime of homosexuality.
Bullshit.
On the charge of gross indecency, which, again, like, the UK is single-handedly responsible for ruining so many lives across the world for so many reasons. Because remember, a lot of countries have sodomy laws because of the UK imperialism.
Dude, colonialism is bullshit. Don't ever get swayed.
If someone asks you, do you want to do some colonialism?
Just say no.
Tell them no.
Throw a smoke bomb and get the hell out of there.
Just get out. And if throw a smoke bomb in their mouth, so they can't ever talk about that colonialism bullshit ever again. And so he was also chemically castrated.
Which is like,
after
what
information
the
about
fuck?
His relationship with another man became known, and he ended up committing suicide 2 years later at 41. So the man who single-handedly helped end World War II, and I think this like reminded me too, after coming off the heels of, you know, how the Trump administration has pretty much, you know, made it so like transgender people can't serve in the military, and it's right. Like you have these brilliant people who are looking to serve and make the world a better
place. Yeah, because I don't want to serve in no military, so people who want to volunteer, more power to you. We shouldn't be fucking turning anybody away who is brilliant and wants to serve their country.
Exactly. And snaps to all the embassies who have been raising pride flags, because the Trump administration has said, nope, you can't raise any pride flags. And they've been
like, I love this protest.
We're going to do it.
Oh, before you move on to the next person, there's the Turing test, which is named after him, that we still use to this day. And especially nowadays, as we get closer and closer to AI, the Turing test
No, keep talking. I'm just excited. Because he was so excited about artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm.
So the Turing test is basically a test that you give to a computer. And when when you cannot tell if you are talking to a computer or a human, it passes the Turing test, and therefore you have artificial intelligence.
Oh, ahead of a time. And think about this, 41, we lost so much beautiful information from that.
He was 41?
41.
Jesus. Could have done so much over something bullshit.
Yep. So also, too, there is, if you're going to be at the Fringe Festival, my roommate is doing a play about Alan Turing.
Cool.
So you can see that this summer.
Ah.
Bessie Smith.
Yes.
Also a movie. And also, I'm surprised. I Googled our archives and we hadn't chatted about her. I was shocked.
That is interesting. I watched that movie. Well, I tried to.
Okay. Fair enough. Also on HBO, because I tried to watch it on HBO too when I had it, and then I forget what happened.
Probably the same thing that happened to me.
I feel like, you know, props to Queen Latifah. I love
her. Love Queen Latifah. I'm just saying, a movie needs a good writer. That's all.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. That was one of those movies that they were like, this is going to win all the Emmys. And then.
Okay.
Well. We'll tell you all about it so you don't have to watch the
movie. Because Bessie Smith is awesome.
She's great. She gets all the props. Needs a better movie. Still starring Queen Latifah. Just like redo it like X-Men Dark Phoenix, but then do a better job than the second version
of it.
She was born into poverty. She went from busking on the streets of Chattanooga, Tennessee to performing at the most famous club venues around the country. Mm. She rose to prominence under the tutelage of Ma Rainey, who was also a queer woman as well.
Yes.
Signed Columbia Records in 1923. Three of her original recordings have been inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame. So you know she's doing big things. And she had these huge tours. She was bisexual. Mm-hmm. And she did not care to hide it. And in fact, it was in plain sight for all of us to hear.
Yes.
And her song, It's Dirty But Good, which I feel like that could come out today as a club banger. And it includes lyrics alluding to lesbian sex.
Okay.
So
she shouldn't be calling it dirty, though.
This is dirty but good. Well, I feel like at the time, the perception.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
You know, this was her doing a little Katy Perry.
Yeah, that's true.
I kissed a girl, but I liked it. You know?
Except Katy Perry doesn't live that life. Yeah.
And she didn't kiss a girl. So.
Exactly.
Sorry, I get angry about it. Many believe that Smith and Ma Rainey had a relationship, who mentored her. And then Smith's second husband, which I don't know if you made it to this part in the movie, but Jack Gee.
Did not.
Do you know about Jack Gee?
No. I didn't make it that far.
Okay. Not trying to out you in front of the listeners.
I mean, I outed myself.
You made it farther than me. I think I got as far as I looked at it and was like, I'm going to watch this. And then I never pressed play.
I got to her tutelage of Ma Rainey, where Ma Rainey was like, yeah, you could come on this train. Meanwhile, there's like a naked black lady sitting next to Ma Rainey. And I was like, oh. I mean, cool. Like, I'm sure it was probably like that, but it does feel a little exploitative too, since this lady has no words whatsoever except to like have a drink balanced on her head. I don't know. It was just, it felt very much like an early HBO movie.
Okay. Well, there are no small parts. We all have a role to play. So Jack Gee, he was often angered by her trysts with women, including chorus girl Lillian Simpson and fellow singer Gertrude Sanders.
Ooh. These are some old-timey ass names.
I'm naming my daughter Lillian Simpson.
That is
Lillian and Gertie. But you know what? Jack Gee wasn't being faithful either, because he was diddling some ladies, but maybe it's because his lady was diddling ladies, so I don't know.
You know what? Complicated relationships at complicated times.
That's true.
Gave her the...
So she died in... It just says she died in 1937. Aww. So all three of the big three ladies, Bessie Smith, Ma Rainey, and Lucille Bogan, were all known for their queer women.
Oh, cool. I love that.
Next, we're going to zip-zap-zop through the three Barbaras.
Okay, Barbara 1.
Barbara Giddings will be number 1. Okay. She was born in 1932, and she was rejected from her membership of the National Honor Society when a teacher suspected her of having homosexual inclinations.
Oh, my God.
And then when she went to college, she became a psychiatrist, which this is going to play later. And she was a psychiatrist and a lesbian, but she had no organizations to turn to. Mm. And so then she joined in 1956 the Daughters of Billites, which was founded in San Francisco in 1956. Okay. And she was commissioned to start the New York chapter in 1958. Mm. And the DOB, Daughters of Billites, hashtag DOB, often invited doctors and ministers, psychiatrists, like all these different folks to come to speak, even when their message was disapproving of them as queer women.
Interesting. And,
well, what she ended up doing is she led the charge of getting the psychiatric and psychological professionals' view of homosexuality as a mental illness overturned.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. In 1973, the American Psychiatric Association revoked its defining of homosexuality as a disorder. And that's due to her leading the charge on that.
Oh, wow. I would highly suggest you listen. There's a couple episodes on this podcast called Radiolab, and then a couple episodes on the podcast called This American Life, big one, obviously, that talk about that overturned in 1973, if you want more information about that, too.
Well, you'll hear the name Barbara Giddings, and you'll be like, I know her.
From Minority Corner.
Mm-hmm. Barbara, number 2, Barbara Jordan.
Oh, okay.
None of these ladies knew each other. It's just when I was researching, I was like, oh.
The Barbaras.
Talk about three Barbaras. I lumped them together.
Hey.
So she, black lady, American congresswoman.
Yes.
She's a Democrat from Texas. Yes. She was many a first.
She's amazing.
First black woman elected to Congress from a southern state. Yes. Before she became a member of Congress, she was a lawyer and an educator, mm-hmm. and she continued throughout her career. In 1976, she became the first woman and the first black keynote speaker at the DNC, the Democratic National Convention.
Amazing.
She never publicly acknowledged her sexuality, but she lived happily with the same woman for 30 years.
Yeah.
And then there's Barbara
Smith. Oh, wait, before you move off of Barbara Jordan, there's a great This American Life episode about Barbara Jordan, because she... organized this bipartisan party or group where Democrats and Republicans came together and worked on a ton of issues that would have changed history and would have like averted a lot of this shit, but got derailed because of basically she got sick and she wasn't able to maintain it and it just fell apart. Mm. So she was the glue that held it together. So I would highly suggest looking into her, because she's a fascinating character in politics, especially American politics, because she's a black lesbian, and she just I just love the fact that she was able to do so much for behind the scenes kind of stuff too.
Yeah. She was also the first black woman to be buried in the Texas State Cemetery.
Interesting.
In 1996.
Wow, that's late.
Yeah, get with it. Home. So the third Barbara Smith, she co-founded the Combahee River Collective. She helped build a visible black feminist movement during a period when one did not exist. Mm. And she said, virtually everything I have done has been in service of that mission. Mm. So she was on a mission. She was teaching many courses about black women writers in the U.S. in 1973. Mm. She did a lot of great stuff. And I think, did I read? Oh, there was a really great quote that she said. I can't find it. It was a really great quote. Something about she was like, I've always been a black lesbian.
Yeah.
And I'll die a black lesbian. Something to that effect.
Yeah.
She said, I think it was like 1984 Pride rally. And she was like super, she was like super old at this point.
Oh, I
like,
love it. Yeah. Brilliant. That's good.
That she just was always, that's just who she always was.
That's tight.
This one I kind of knew about, but didn't, I mean, I knew, but I didn't really, I found out more. Sally Ride. I always forget about her.
The astronaut?
Yeah. Yeah. That's her.
Okay.
Well, I know she's a white lady, but you know, here at Minority Corner, we'll talk about all of y'all.
Yeah.
You queer? We'll talk about it. Okay. Good way. So she got the Presidential Medal of Freedom award in 1983. She flew with fellow crew members aboard the shuttle Challenger, not the one that had exploded, back beforehand, but it was like the next Challenger one.
Right.
And she was married to a man until the mid 80s, but then about the time of her death, it was revealed that she had been having a 27-year relationship with a female partner.
Wow.
Tam O'Shanasher.
Excuse me. Excuse moi.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Her story kind of reminds me of Elizabeth Gilbert of recently, of Eat, Pray, Love fame.
What? I mean, Elizabeth Gilbert hasn't been having a 27-year affair.
She just actually she actually left her husband, the one that she wrote her book about.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's been with she just died, but she's been with the love of her life, a female, a woman.
Yeah.
And she was with her for the end of her rest of her life.
Oh, that's nice.
So it just kind of reminded me of that later on. Like, again, like sexuality can be so fluid. Totally. That people discover things as things go on. But her sister, Bear Ride, who's also a lesbian, said that her sister just never came out because she just was a private lady.
Sally got the short end of the stick with the names in that family.
Because she could have been, you know, Deer, Tiger I know. Ride.
Okay.
Deer Ride. Okay, this last one I'm going to read for today. I could go on and on with these wonderful people. This last one I'm going to read is Harry Hay.
Harry Hay?
And Harry Hay.
Okay.
That must have been hard growing up with that.
Or not, because I feel like that came out in the 90s, that sort of.
I feel like, but Harry Hay rhymes with gay. Like, I'm just saying, kids are mean no matter what decade you put them
in. I mean, that's where they're creative. Kids are creative with their meanness. They will fucking figure it out.
It's like, why don't you get creative with your art project, Ellen?
I know.
Okay? Like, look at your macaroni necklace. It's tired. So instead of making up mean names to call the little queer kids, why don't you do your art, Sally? Not that Sally.
I know, you Sally can't Ride, take the names of the people that you just honored, right?
Oh, I know, it's true. Okay, Carlton.
There you go.
Okay, get it together, Carlton. Your macaroni necklace is shit.
Oh, my God.
I should teach kids.
Yeah, I have a kind voice and soul towards children. Gentle touch.
Oh, God. Kids got to learn, okay? Carlton will be whipping it up in shape. He will not be saying any awful queer epithets. That's not the right word, but I wanted to use
it. I mean, it is kind of weird. You're calling out somebody, a name that of someone I'm related to. So it feels a little...
Oh, I also have a friend named Carlton. How about this? Bartholomew.
There we go. I don't know any Bartholomews.
You need to get it together.
I don't know.
Okay, Harry Hay, last one. He is famous for his quote about the need for unity among minority communities.
I like that.
And he British guy. He founded the Mattachine Society in 1950. No. Do you know what the Mattachine Society is?
I do not know what that is.
Then I am definitely like, I will have to circle back to dig deeper into it because it's huge. Oh. The Mattachine Society is sort of, so it's pre-Stonewall.
Okay.
And it was one of the first sort of organizations where men were able to come and be together as men and be open. It was done in secret. But yeah, the Mattachine Society. And in fact, the bar, I was just at the Mattachine Society after that crazy play we saw.
Yeah.
We went to, there's a bar, I forget what the bar is, what the old Mattachine Society used to be.
Oh, cool. It did make it over here stateside.
Oh, the Mattachine Society. Yeah, he's British. I'm sorry. He's British, but he came over here.
Oh, and created. And
he did all his gay things over here. Stop. Sorry. Thank you for clarifying. James. He was gay over here. let's see. Oh, in 1953, the Mattachine Society actually ousted Hay for his communist views.
Ew, rude.
Doesn't matter if you were gay, but there was a huge communist scare back then.
Yeah, but like, why are they... Anyways.
I know. But ironically, the American Communist Party kicked him out because it believed his homosexuality made him a security risk. So,
bullshit.
Poor Harry.
I know. God damn it.
So after more than a decade away from activism, Hay returned to his work for fighting for LGBT equality by founding the Los Angeles chapter of the Gay Liberation Front, which you may have heard about.
Mm-hmm.
He also founded with his longtime partner, John Burnside, the Radical Fairies.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of
I know.
Yeah.
Them. Yes. The Radical Fairies are very radical. They're still doing stuff today.
Still being radical.
And being radical and being fairies. I think the Radical Fairies organized that thing in Tennessee where they all like jerk off into a tree together or something with like the maple. Something.
Wow.
What?
Hello? Did I just have a fever dream? Did I just wake up? What's happening?
Oh my God, I forget what it's called. I think it's called Beltane. Yeah, that's what it
Beltane
is.
Just like pagan springtime or something like that.
Right, but there's another one specifically in Tennessee where the Radical Fairies all go together and do mushrooms and jerk off into trees together.
Hello? What? I'm back. Just back again.
Really, oh, passed out. God. So Harry Hay, he died in 2002 with his partner by his side. And there's a PBS produced an award-winning documentary about Hay's life called Hope Along the Wind, The Life of Harry Hay.
Oh, okay, cool.
And to end on this quote from Harry Hay, he says, "In order to earn for ourselves any place in the sun, we must work collectively for the first class citizenship of minorities everywhere."
I like that.
Yeah, I feel like that should be like our tagline. It's long.
I don't want to take it, but you know, we'll appreciate it. Maybe we can like change the words a little bit, make it our own.
Oh, okay. We'll do like a wordsmith. Like, what's another word for sun?
We'll paraphrase.
Bright, shiny thing in the sky.
Paraphrase it. The star.
Oh, okay. So you're saying. Okay, we'll work on that. Well, in the meantime, we'll work on that. And let's go to a little break.
Yeah.
We are the host of My Brother, and Me, and now, nearly 10 years into our podcast, the secret can be revealed. All the clues are in place, and the world's greatest treasure hunt can now begin.
Embedded in each episode of My Brother, and Me is a micro clue that will lead you to 14 precious gemstones all around this big, beautiful blue world of ours.
So start combing through the episodes. Let's say starting at episode 101 on.
Yeah, the early episodes are pretty problematic, so there's no clues in those episodes.
No, not at all.
The better ones, the good ones, clues ahoy.
Listen to every episode repeatedly in sequence. Laugh if you must, but mainly get all the great clues. My Brother and Me, it's an advice show, kind of, but a treasure hunt mainly. Anywhere you find podcasts or treasure maps, My Brother and Me, the hunt is on.
I mean, I'm going in cold, so it could literally say, "Why is Aneke a bitch?" and I have to answer it. So, you know,
I would. Do you think I would?
I mean, why not? Let's just try.
Why not?
I would answer it to
she
my
got
best.
Real loose with motherhood, she's like, whatever.
My best
she's
ability.
Like, I got a baby.
You know?
Your words don't mean shit.
I got a thick ass skin now. I'm like a war veteran.
She do.
Someone has to ask me that question, I will answer to my best ability. I'm tired. That's why I'm a bitch. Leave me alone. No, I don't know.
what I love, it was not a question that was it was not a question that was asked, but it did get answered. It did get answered. You got a twofer. There was an
we got a imaginary okay, and a real.
So let's get to question okay. number two. So this one comes from Allie M. Allie M says, "Hey, Minority Corner, I've been wanting to email y'all for a hot minute to hear your take on Cardi B.
Oh, interesting.
She's been gaining a lot of fame and attention lately, being the first African-American woman to win a Grammy, but there has also been a lot of problematic stories coming out as well. Things about her being transphobic, calling trans people the D word. It's bleeped out
What's the D word?
And which I think Dyke's going to make me say
Sorry. I didn't know. I mean, you're splashing that N word all over the place at the beginning.
I've gotten really comfortable with saying it lately. I think because of comedy. Back to this. And assaulting men for money while drugging.
I heard about that.
She's been calling. She's been assaulting men for money while drugging them back when she was.
Yeah,
sipping.
I heard about that.
Okay, not mad about that. I'd love to hear your thoughts on her and how all of this relates to today's cancel culture. Do we still celebrate her knowing all of this, or should we take a step back? Love you both, Felix.
Cool. Well, here's my cautionary tale. This is what happens when you elevate reality stars.
Or just people. Yeah, we put people on pedestals. I think, like, if I've learned anything from the Leaving Neverland or Finding Neverland or
documentary
whatever,
about Michael Jackson.
Yes, and the R. Kelly stuff. It's like, we have to stop putting people on these pedestals because we let them get away.
I know. It's so true. I mean, okay. One, I was very happy to see a Black Latina woman. I guess that's redundant. Black Latina get to the status that she was able to get to. I do feel like it's a nuanced thing because a lot of the, I mean, she rose to popularity because she was on Love and Hip Hop. And Love and Hip Hop, you know, they cultivate kind of the cast members on that show, big on drama, big on fights, big on, you know, wild, outlandish behavior. She had a hit single off of that and has kind of grown exponentially. She did what she needed to do to get to the level that she's at, which I commend her for. But I don't look at her as, I'm not like trying to live my life like Cardi B. I feel like
she's not like your
no.
role for life.
Also, no apologies have been issued from her, which I think is a little problematic. I don't like that. On top of the list of things that you mentioned in the email, she did talk about, like, I think she's been known to say some slander against dark-skinned women too, which is a problem. I've backed away, honestly. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I wasn't buying her music too much anyway. I think I maybe downloaded maybe one or two singles or something like that. So it's not like I was personally stanning her. It's hard because it's not like she is a evil monster like Bill Cosby or Michael Jackson.
Right.
But she is problematic. She has been known to say problematic things. I don't know. What's your take on it?
Well, I love that we're talking about Cardi B because I'm going to put my old man hat on and be like, who's that?
Are you kidding me? Really?
I know her, but I don't really know her.
Oh.
I danced to one of her songs in a hip hop dance class before. I don't know any of the words to any of her songs. All the kids at the bar mitzvah worked at, all knew the words to her. I don't. I mean, I've got like my female MCs from day of old. Like, give me some Queen Latifah, give me some Little Kim, give me some Salt and Pepper. You know, we have so many female MCs. So I'm processing a lot of this. I didn't know she was on a reality TV show, so I just learned that. Thank you for informing.
Totally.
I like her story that she used to be a stripper and that she, you know, is doing her thing or whatnot. I think just listening to you talk that made me, it's kind of interesting to me because she is saying a lot of problematic mm-hmm. things. I think it's an opportunity because I'm all for people growing. And like you said, it's not like she is who right. she is. And she was lauded and applauded for being outlandish and for being this big sort of brash right. reality TV yes. person. And so, you know, I think it's also too, we kind of have to, there's a grace period because now she's in a different arena because now she's in this sort of lead musical industry person. And I think that we, because we're such a, I think a more socially conscious society right, right now, that we want our businesses. And I think, you know, she is a business at this point.
Completely.
She's a brand. And we want our brands to be about something and to mm-hmm. say something. And I think like she's got to be able to catch up to where we're expecting her to be. And one of two things will happen. She either will or she won't, and her career will be over. Because look at Azalea Banks as a prime
yeah,
example.
Yeah, that's exactly correct.
We were all Tyra Banks rooting yeah, for you.
I know. You know? And then she went went off the rails.
We gave her time and time again. Like, I gave her so many passes, so many passes. And she just didn't, because she just wasn't ready to be what we all needed her to be. So I feel like I'm open to giving her the space to be able to grow to where it is that she needs to be. And if you're not at that moment, if you're like, I'm already ready to cancel her, great, awesome. Vote with your dollars. She might get the message then.
Right.
I just hope she doesn't. I hope she right. I hope I'm rooting for her. Because I hope she rises to it, not Kevin Hart style.
No, Kevin Hart, his apology tour was terrible.
He really didn't go on what he said. It was like, oh, that was me in the past, yada. But it was, again, like when you are a brand and an entity and you're in a leadership role, like that's just kind of how things are
right.
now. Like our leaders are these celebrities. There are we have a class system. It's celebrities, you know. Those are our duchess and duchesses of our country. Unfortunately, that's just, you know, but it seems like it doesn't matter what society you're in, it just sort of always kind of bubbles up.
Oh yeah,
created.
There's always a high class, but, you know, I can't say the word right now, but you know what I mean. Yeah, hierarchy.
Is that the one?
Mm-hmm. Mm,
see, teamwork makes the
dream.
There
you go. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I actually like her music, so it was a little bit of a sting, because it's mm-hmm. fun. It's fun, party, empowering, nasty jams.
Ooh.
Like, it's good. But I do feel like, I mean, the culture that she comes from, like, it's tough. Like, stripping ain't mm-hmm. easy. I mean, I don't know. I've never been a stripper. But I can't imagine it being, you know, a gentle workplace. So, you know, if she's saying...
Wait. I'm sorry. Continue. And then we'll come back.
Okay. I mean, just the fact that she's saying, you know, that she drugged guys and used to take their money.
That's,
like, we
okay.
need the context.
I love how we are on the same page, because that's what I was going to ask you to circle
yeah.
back to. We are on the same page. Unpack that for me.
That's what I'm like. Well, she said it offhandedly because one of the things that made her popular, she was big on social media. And one of the things that she said in like a video is like how she used to survive back in the day and how she used to get by. And that was one of the things that she used to do. And her saying it is like, a lot of things she says is very tongue in cheek. So you don't know if it's real or you don't know if it's not.
Sure.
But I feel like that she was coming from an environment where that could have possibly happened, which is fucked up. I don't think that we should condone that at all. But
was she drugging them so she could take a
no,
break?
No, I don't know.
Doing a lap dance. Like, she was like, I'm giving him a lap dance. He's being too handsy. Let me drug him so I can, like,
no, take his money.
Know, have a rest. Oh,
that's
okay.
what she said. I don't know. The whole thing is wild. So I feel like it isn't like she came from fucking suburbia. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And I don't think that we should, and it sounds a little classist of me, I guess, saying that too. I don't know what I'm trying to get at. It's just that, like you said before, we shouldn't be quick to put people on pedestals. Because she kind of got thrown into this fast with her single. And I feel like her PR people probably weren't getting their ducks lined up. Because you also have to remember that, too. Because a lot of celebrities out there that we see that we think are polished and so amazing and pristine have excellent teams. surrounding them. Yeah.
They get Eliza Doolittle. Right. They get put through a little factory and they get turned out and she doesn't have that. And I also think it's just a great reminder of like, I mean, she's a human being and we're literally watching a human
and
being.
And she's young.
She's young.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I mean, like you said before, if you are turned off by what she's doing, more power to you. Don't listen. You know?
Yeah,
I feel like she's still gray area for me, where I'm not going to tell people what to do. It's not like it's an R. Kelly situation where I'm like, ew, you listening to R. Kelly, what the fuck is your problem sort of thing. So that's where I stand on it. It's gray, she's problematic, but her hits are bangers, and she's young, and she used to strip in the hood.
Yeah, and we'll just sort of see where the story develops. I know.
That was a good Ask Minority Corner Anything. That got my thinking cap on.
Yeah, we had to really think about this one. Thanks,
Thank
Felix.
You. This was an excellent episode.
I got money shoes, Cardi B, and I got my seat, and I make the moves, wow. And I strip. And I drug in you. And it's LGBT.
Grandpa.
Cardi B. Cardi B. Did I do it? Did I do it?
Sure. You did a nice dad version of it, right?
I'm ready.
So we got a tweet of the week.
Tweet, tweet. Tweet of the week. We make money moves.
People be tweeting us. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so, and people be promoting us, too. So, this is from...
Thank you.
At Melinda Aston, underscore Aston, wrote, thank you at Minority Quarter for highlighting Black feminists in your latest podcast. Quote, make it a Shonda show. Miss Fitzy was perfection, and James, you cracked me up with Dracarys. Hashtag podcast, hashtag feminism, hashtag know your history, and a link to our episode.
Oh, that was a good episode.
I know. That was X gonna give it to you. So, you know, you could go back and listen to that one.
Yeah. Ooh, I don't know why that got me so excited.
Because that song is a hype song.
It is. Like, that is a song for the ages.
X gonna give it to you. Gonna give it to you.
Who's gonna give it to you? Is he in prison still?
I don't know. I like DMX.
I feel like he was. Me too. He's doing it up. He was out of prison and then he was back in. I don't know. Someone tweet at us. Let us know. Well, DMX, we know you listen. So just.
Yeah.
If you're out of prison, send us a tweet. Here it is. If we get a tweet from DMX, we know he's out of prison.
Wow.
If he doesn't tweet at us, he's in prison because he can't tweet at us because he's in prison.
Wow, you're putting a lot of weight on this statement.
We'll know next week.
Oh, man. You can tweet at us, DMX, at Minority Corners. Corner spelt with a K.
Mm-hmm. Let us know, D.
Or
Mr. MX. Mr. X.
The song is X gonna give it to you, so it goes by X, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. I call him D, because, you know.
Okay.
I like the D.
Well, where else can you reach us?
Just as Felix did, send us an Ask Minority Corner anything to minoritycorner@gmail.com.
Yes.
You can also write us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast. We're on Spotify. I don't know if you can do reviews on Spotify.
I don't know. But we're on there, which is an honor.
Which is helpful, which is great, because not everybody's on Spotify, but we are.
Yeah, we are.
Oprah's Super Soul Sessions on Spotify. Oprah's Masterclass, not on Spotify.
Oh, so we got one up on Oprah?
Yeah. So there we go.
Okay.
There we go. Yeah. That's it. That's going to do it for you this week here. I'm glad that read.
It did.
So a big thank you to Woody, our editor.
Thank you.
Brownout.
Thank you.
And a big thank you to all of you for listening to Minority Corner.
Because together,
we're the majority. Happy Pride.
MaximumFun.org. comedy, and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.